When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There is so much time for you to do all the things you want to do, and there's so much time for you to be everything you want to be. And I think learning to drop into the present moment constantly, like all day long. Hey besties, welcome back to another episode of I Miss Me. Today I have Sian Camille with me. She is the host of Apricity with Sian Camille. And on her podcast, Sian takes you along her exploration of self-optimization, life changes, philosophy, wellness, and spirituality. So, Sian, welcome to I Miss Me.
Thank you so much.
So excited to have you on. Thank you so much for giving me your time to be here. I want to talk about all of the topics that you talk about on your podcast. I want to start off by talking about your spiritual journey. How has that been for you? When does it start and why?
Yeah, so I have been through quite the spiritual journey. I think I really just started getting into spirituality because my mental health was in such a low place. And I was like, I just need to figure out something outside of the Western medicine, typical, like go on antidepressants, you know, go to therapy. Therapy helped me a lot, mm-hmm. but I think I needed more than that. And I wasn't getting to the root of what was really hurting me. Mm-hmm. And you can't heal until you get to the root. Mm-hmm. So I really just started with reading different spiritual books. I think the first book I read was The Four Agreements. Mm-hmm. Have you read that before?
No, and I've gotten it. I got it yesterday and I got it today. So I should read it.
You got it yesterday?
No. I mean, someone told me about it yesterday and you just told me about it. So I probably should get it. Yeah.
It's a really great book. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it was just like learning that I came into this world whole and I've always been whole. And a lot of healing, I think, is doing self-forgiveness work and realizing that you are completely okay the way you are, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with you. And I think finding that in spirituality really helped me, because as much as like typical self-improvement stuff of like, you know, always optimizing helps a lot. Like, it is important to, you know, eat your vegetables, exercise. It is important to get enough sleep. But I think sometimes we just have to return to being like, okay, I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is forgiveness. So I think that's kind of where I started, just like getting into spirituality.
Mm-hmm. What was it, like a specific situation that like triggered that, of like, I went through a breakup, I went through a friendship breakup, or I was just going through a lot of like, I was feeling lost or outgrowing things? What was that for you?
Yeah, I think honestly for me it was, I struggled a lot with depression and anxiety, and I struggled with it from a really young age. And
do you think there was something that triggered it? Or
yeah, I had really bad PTSD. I had a near-death experience. I got in a really bad accident when I was 11, and I had to relearn how to walk on one of my legs. Like, it was very, very traumatic. And I don't know if you've ever heard that saying, the body keeps the score. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was really just a lot of like, I was not getting to the root of what was causing all of like my emotional pain. And I think, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of like generational trauma.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And so I think a big thing for me has been healing in my family avoidance. And I had no choice but to face what had happened to me, because my body was like, not doing well mm-hmm. from the amount of stress I had been under. And I developed an autoimmune disease like right after my accident because my body had just been through so much and I didn't do therapy right after. And I think I finally, you know, I went to therapy, got into spirituality. That's kind of what triggered it all. But for me, it was really just being like, I'm at a point where nothing is working for me. Like avoiding is not working for me.
Yeah.
Numbing myself by being around people, over socializing mm-hmm. is not working. Smoking weed is not working. Mm-hmm. So I need to find something that actually is going to get to the root.
I love that you talk about that because I was also talking about it yesterday where it's like generational traumas is just like you carry pain through generations until someone is willing to feel it. And I feel like that is such a beautiful way to like say it is like you will carry pain through generations until someone is able to or willing to feel it and fix it. And it's so true. What is like the most beautiful lesson that you've learned about yourself after, you know, having to give grace to yourself and after realizing that maybe all of these coping mechanisms don't necessarily work until you're willing to feel all the pain and, you know, unpack everything that you haven't?
The most beautiful lesson. That's a really good question. What is the most beautiful lesson you've learned about yourself?
I think how just capable I am and in every single sense of like how capable I am of loving, of being patient, of just capable in general, like not of being successful or like not that, but just capable of loving, of feeling, of experiencing pain, of experiencing happiness, of understanding, of being open to see people from a different perspective. Just like the amount of capability that I have, I feel like is just so beautiful.
I love that answer. Mm. I think for me, it relates to capability. It's like the sensitivity that I've learned to tap into mm-hmm. with myself. Mm. I'm a very sensitive person. And since I've broken that avoidance in my family, and I think I'm the first person to be like, it's okay to feel
everything.
Deeply.
I cry for everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. it's okay to be a highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
And I think the ability to connect with people and to connect with the world around you is so much stronger mm-hmm. when you allow yourself to feel your sensitivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. I'm 20. You're 25. Sierra here is 27. And I think that we can all agree that our 20s are just this very big like journey of self-discovery, feeling lost and then feeling found and then feeling lost again of like, what do I actually want for the rest of my life, what do I don't, and then just being in this like constant conflict but also, you know, learning how to be okay with being in conflict kind of. So what would be your biggest advice for someone who's navigating their 20s and are feeling that pressure of like, for me, when I turned 20, I would look forward to turning 17, 18, 19. I would love my birthday. And I was not looking forward to turning 20. Like, I think that I developed this fear of growing up and then not doing enough as time went by. So I just had this fear of, I don't want to grow up and achieve things when I'm old. I want to be young forever and achieve things. I feel like that is a very big fear that I had. But what would be your biggest advice when it comes to like your time is not running out?
Yeah, I think something that brought me a lot of comfort was I was telling my dad this right before I graduated college. I was like, there's so many things I want to do and I feel like I don't have time to do all of them and I'm scared of getting older and then never doing any of those things. And just knowing that there is so much time for you to do all the things you want to do mm-hmm. and there's so much time for you to be everything you want to be. And I think learning to drop into the present moment constantly, like all day long, like even when I came in this room, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so anxious from being in traffic. And then mm-hmm. I like sit down, I'm like, okay,
like I'm 30 minutes late, like
I'm 30 minutes late, yeah. Like, but it's like 100%. It is what it is. Like, you have to just drop into where you are and be like, okay, what is right in front of me right now and how can I connect with what's in front of me and be in this moment. And I think when my dad, going back to what he said to me, was you just pick one thing at a time and you try it and you see how it goes. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't work out, great. Life is not it's not that serious. You know, like, we have so much time to be everything we want to be. And I think that the reason a lot of people feel lost, feel scared in their 20s is because they're always looking ahead of, like, where they want to be and the gap between where they are and where they want to be.
That's so beautiful. You talk a lot about jealousy and comparison on your podcast and, like, how to deal with it. What do you think is the root of it and how to heal it? Because I feel like it's just... I've always said that jealousy is, like, giving poison to someone else and you are the one that dies.
That's
like, I feel
so
like that's what jealousy is. So how do you think... What do you think is the root and how do you heal it?
I think jealousy always is coming from a place of actually reflecting what we want. Like, everything we experience in this world is a mirror. And so when you're jealous of something, you're actually seeing just a reflection of what you want. And it's a really great emotion when you learn to look at it like that, because you're like, oh, wait, I'm feeling envy. I'm feeling jealousy because this is just something that I want to work towards. It's not a representation of me being a mean or bad person. And that kind of goes back to what I said earlier of, like, you came into this world whole. All the emotions you feel are okay. Like, the ones that feel ugly, the ones that feel negative, it's all okay. And so I think seeing jealousy and envy as a catalyst for growth is a really powerful thing.
That's such a beautiful thing. It's like your body is always, like you said, the body keeps a score. It's always talking to you. And jealousy is just a way of your body communicating to you the things that you want. And so now you can look at it as, okay, this is a goal that I want to achieve. What can I do to achieve it? Instead of, how am I, you know, how am I going to, like, someone doing good doesn't mean that I'm doing bad. It just means that I want to do as good as them. And that's not a bad thing. So that's so, such a beautiful way to, like, look at it. How do you personally have acknowledged, like, throughout your life when it's time to let go? And how can someone else learn how to acknowledge and feel that it's time to let go?
Yeah, I think letting go is a practice that we continually have to engage with. I have had so many situations in my life. I think one of the most obvious ones that comes to mind is love, because I think love is so hard to let go of.
Yeah.
And I have really liked people where I'm like, okay, they fit all these things that I really want, but then they have, like, these three qualities that are deal breakers and it's not going to work out. But I've still been attached to them. And so I got really into detachment and letting go when I was really attached to someone that I shouldn't have been with and shouldn't have been wanting to be with. I think the practice of detachment is huge for me and letting go. Have you ever practiced detachment before?
I mean, I feel like you constantly have to practice it with everything that you, it's going to sound super obvious, but feel attached to. Like, every single thing that is hard for you to, like, let go, or you feel even, like, the most little, like, tiniest bit of attachment towards, you have to practice detachment of, like, it is what it is. Like, the let them theory and, like, all of those things that is just, like, I really can't control anything outside of myself. But, yeah, I feel like it, I feel like I constantly have to keep, you know, working towards it, because it's not easy at all. But I genuinely feel like it's the only way of feeling, like, peace, like, permanent peace, not just, like, temporary peace of, like, I'm letting you go, but, like, whenever someone else comes in and I get attached to you, I'm going to feel the exact same way of, like, no, I want to permanently feel this way, you know? So, I mean, what's the biggest advice that you would give for someone who has trouble detaching?
Yeah, I think if you read most Buddhist books, they'll say attachment is the root of suffering.
Yeah.
So, for me, I try to remember when I find myself being attached to someone or something that it's not helping me in any way. And I have some practices that I try to engage with, like,
can
cord
you share?
Cutting.
Yeah.
Have you ever done cord cutting before?
No, nothing.
So for me, I love visualization. I love meditation. And you just imagine an energetic cord connecting your body to their body, because I think that's actually what a lot of the times when we are attached to someone, it's just like we feel energy. This tug, this energy towards them. And you imagine your energy extending from your body and their energy extending from their body. And then you just, with a pair of scissors, cut cord. It. And then imagine your energy coming back to yourself. So all that energy you're pouring into them, it just comes back to you. Mm. And all their energy that they're probably sending out too goes back to them. And for me, that's, I don't know why, it's very...
I love that.
Like, peaceful to yeah. imagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do that. And then also, I think just remembering, like, is this coming from a place of love? Like, are my actions, are what I'm doing coming from a place of love? And a lot of times, attachment is actually not
coming. I think that's what I was going to say. I think attachment never comes from a place of love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes from a place of lack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wanting to, like, have ownership over someone else or something else.
That, and I think it's just that fear of, I don't have it within myself, you mm-hmm. know? So I don't want to let you go, because once I let you go, I'm not going to have it. Like, whether it's love or attention or validation, like, because some people do acknowledge the fact that they have to let go. I just don't want to, because then I have to put in the work myself, and that's, I don't want to deal with myself, you right. know? So what are like, books that you recommend?
For
spirituality, for self-growth, because I personally like, the things that have helped me learn the most have been books, like life-changing yeah. experiences are definitely books. So
me too. I love reading. I'm also a writer too, so I'm like, really anything.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a book coming out soon, and it's Poems and Practices for Healing. Gosh. So yeah, I think for me, creativity is really important for learning to channel emotions, because you can't rid yourself of unwanted emotions, but you can learn to channel them. Mm-hmm. And learning to tap into creativity has been huge for me. So Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. Have you read that? Mm-mm. That is an amazing book, especially for a creative like yourself. Yeah, like I think anyone wanting to connect deeper with their creative practices, there's just so much amazing advice in it. Mm. I think specifically for spirituality, the Four Agreements, The Subtle Art of Not Giving. The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck uh-huh. is a great book. Mm-hmm. I think those are good ones to start
with. When does that passion for writing start?
I have written since I was little. I think, like, I'm such an observer, and it's how I make sense of the world. Yeah. And it also is just very cathartic. I think all of us humans, we love to write about the things that make us feel sad and the things that make us feel happy. And for me, I've been doing it since I was little. And I think just learning that that was a healing practice for me. And then all of a sudden I had a book. So
through observation, what do you think is, like, the biggest, what have you observed that is the biggest misconception that society has about love?
That's such a great question. I think love is about appreciation and not ownership. That's such a big thing with love, I think I've learned, is it's about, you know, you let people do what they want to do and what's going to make them the happiest, and you don't try to tie them down. And it's same with, like, a flower. Like, you don't need to pick a flower if you see it in nature. You can just look at it and mm-hmm. love it. And that's kind of what writing is too, is I think you just observe the world and then you try to put it in your own words.
What's the most beautiful lesson that you've learned about yourself through writing? Of, like, I didn't know I had this in me until I wrote this, and I'm like, wow, like, this other part of me comes out when I'm writing.
I feel like I can do anything I put my mind to. It's, writing a book is a really big project, really scary, but so much of the time, like, we create our own pain and we create our own suffering, and, like, we get in our own way. And I think for me, just understanding, like, I'm capable of doing anything I really want to do, a lot of it is just letting my ego dissolve and being like, okay, where am I at in this process? What is the next step forward? Like, for me, I wanted the book to come out so much sooner than it has. And a lot of that has been like, okay, well, you can't rush the process of it. And you just have to fall in love with, like, where you're at today. Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. What's the book called?
It's called Talking with My Angels in the Bathtub.
That's so beautiful. What's it about?
Besties, this is for everyone that's looking to learn a new language. Whether you have an upcoming international trip or want to connect with friends and family or a new culture, Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages to offer, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, and so many more. And it immerses you in many, many ways. It has no English translations, which means that you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. And I also love that it has speech recognition. It has a built-in true accent feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's literally like having a personal trainer for your accent. Besties, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. And for a very limited time, iMissedMe's listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Again, besties, that's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. I love you, besties, and I can't wait for you guys to start learning a new language.
Besties, when I first started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing from my mind. Now I'm selling hoodies with positive messages on the back, and it is so easy, all just because of Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online store stage to the first real life store stage, and all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whenever you're selling. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Besties, I truly cannot recommend Shopify enough. You guys know that I have a business and it is hosted on Shopify. So besties, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mafiansures, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/mafiansures now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, besties, shopify.com/mafiansures. Thank you so much, Shopify, for sponsoring today's episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is poems and practices for healing. And I did that because poetry for me, like art, is very healing to me, and it's very subjective. And I think you and I could look at the same painting or read the same poem and get totally different experiences. And so I wanted to have half of the book be that, and then the other half of the book be like tangible practices you can do to help you. And they're really just a compilation of all the things I've learned so far in my healing journey through teaching yoga. I taught yoga for a long time, and just the combination of that. And it didn't start out that way, but that's what's really cool about doing and some type of like artistic project, is it becomes something on its own.
You're gonna have to agree with me on this, that like the more that you like work on yourself and work on your growth and your healing, the less you want to be around people. Like, you just want like your closest people that are like resonating with your energy and are like in that same frequency as you around you. And then don't, like, you know, you just want to, when you just build this friendship with yourself and learn to appreciate loneliness, the more that you want to be alone. So how, what do you do to like recognize like energy suckers, or how do you protect your energy, or things like that, that people can like learn how to acknowledge when someone is good for you or not?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like, listen to your intuition, listen to your body. Like, your body will tell you if it does not like someone. Yeah. The second you meet them, you'll feel like, oh, this isn't right. And I think, especially as women, we ignore that intuition and we're taught to ignore that intuition. So really tapping into, do I feel energized after I spend time with someone? Mm. Or do I feel depleted? That's a huge one. Like, if you feel exhausted after spending time with someone, they're probably draining you. And that's not to say that other people are bad or good, because I think that's been a big part of my journey, is being like, we all have our own things that we need to work through.
Yeah.
But I think just knowing, like, people are like strings on a guitar. Like, sometimes two will sound really good together. Like, you and I might work really well together, but then this other person that you work really well with, I might not feel good with.
Wow,
I've
never heard that before. Wow.
Yeah. My friend taught me that, and I was like, that's crazy.
That's really powerful.
Yeah. Wow. So just, like, being okay with that, too. Like, mm-hmm. we're not all going to work together.
And that's okay. So true. Like, I've heard so many stories where it's like, I was with this toxic guy, and my skin was breaking out, and then we stopped talking, and my skin cleared up. And it's like, yeah, like, your body literally talks to you and tells you who is good for you and who's not. Why do you think it's so hard to let go? Like, where does that come from?
I think it does come from, like you said, a lack mindset. Like, lack mindset versus abundance mindset. Naturally, the brain is always looking for problems, and it's always looking for things to solve. Like, mm-hmm. that's just part of our genetic makeup. So just knowing, like, there's nothing wrong with you if you're having a hard time letting go of someone. It's just, that is your set point, because mm-hmm. you're comfortable with them. And yeah. the brain is always going to move towards comfort, and mm-hmm. it's always going to choose comfort. And so I think just knowing that sometimes you have to engage with opposite action to live the life that is actually the healthiest for you and that is the best for you. And I don't know, have you ever done opposite action before?
I mean, yeah, and like forcefully. And now I understand today that our brain is wired for survival and comfort, even if what we have made comfortable is not healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be in the most toxic relationship for a certain period of time. And if you've survived there, and if your brain has made that your comfort zone, then leaving and being with someone who is very healthy and is the opposite of toxic, it's going to feel almost boring, just because you don't have that, like, roller coaster of emotions anymore. But that doesn't mean that it's bad for you. It's just uncomfortable. So your brain is always going to look to go back to that toxic place, because, again, it's where you survive. It's where you're comfortable. So it's just, like, acknowledging the fact that you're not going back because that's what's healthy. You're going back because that's what's comfortable. And the only way that you're going to be able to heal and experience something different and better is if you step out of your comfort zone, which is not always, like, a bad thing. But yeah, for sure. Have you?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially, like, if you grow up in a home that's chaotic, that is your set point.
Yeah.
And so then you're going to search for chaos in a lot of your relationships. And the majority of us do grow up in homes that have chaos. I mean, it's like, to grow up in a perfect family is impossible.
That is so interesting, because today I've had conversations. I've recorded 7 episodes today, and every single one of them has talked about how chaotic their childhood was. And that is so hard for me to relate. I mean, a reason that I'm grateful for, because my childhood was very beautiful. I mean, my parents did argue a lot, but mostly, like, I remember it with a lot of love. And the issues that I grew up with were more because of myself. Like, it was because I was hard on myself, not because my parents were, my sisters, nothing. Like, my family has always been super full of love, but it was more because I was hard on myself. So mm-hmm. I just find it so interesting how much your childhood, like, really affects the way that you grow up and your relationships and everything. Because I've only talked with people that have had, like, you know, different childhoods. And did you go through that when you were...
Yeah, I think my parents did the best they could. Like, they were loving with me, but, you know, my parents got divorced. Like, it wasn't a perfect situation.
How old were you?
I was 17 when they separated. So
you were old enough to acknowledge the fact that they were...
Yeah, I think it was harder growing up in a home with a lot of, like, hostility, though. Like, I'm like, I wish they would have separated.
Like, you found it more peaceful once they separated? Mm-hmm. That's super interesting.
Yeah, and I think it actually was good for me, because I was like, I'm never going to linger in a relationship longer than it feels right, just for the sake of comfort.
Yeah. Why do you think they stayed in it for so long? Do you think it was like you or holding on?
I think combination of comfort, and then also like they didn't want me to have to drive back and forth and have to go through all of that. So I think in a way, like, they were trying to be selfless, and that's why I'm always like, our parents are just people doing the best they can. And that's a huge part of healing, is just acknowledging like everyone is doing the best they can at all times. And it's hard when you've been wronged by someone in some way to acknowledge that, like, especially in love, I think, because you're like, why couldn't this person show up for me in the way I wanted them to? But really, it's just, we've all had these very individual experiences in our lives, and we're just an accumulation of all those experiences and all those feelings we've felt. And we do things just because, you know, we're hurting, or we haven't dealt with something, or, you know, it's a lot easier, I think, to forgive people when you understand that it's not personal.
100%. You went through, like, obviously you were old enough to, I think it's just easier when your parents get divorced when you're little, because you grow up in that dynamic of like, okay, this is normal. But when you grow up with married parents, like, I can't imagine how it is to, like, because I love my parents so much and they have such a beautiful marriage, that I would be heartbroken if they got separated. So I can only imagine. But you were 17, so you were like fully like mature and aware of what was going on. Do you think that triggered some type of fear of separation, or maybe a fear of like, I don't want to commit because I don't want to go through that, what they went through? Or like, did it trigger some type of, or awaken some fear?
Yeah, I think I've experienced both avoidant attachment as a result, and also anxious attachment, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want them to leave. Like, I don't want. But I think just being aware of your attachment style is really helpful.
What's yours?
I'm anxious attachment. And I just, like, whenever I don't hear from, like, my friend that I'm really close with for, like, a week, I'll be like, are they mad at me?
And I'm
like,
did I do something?
Yeah, I'm like, dude, like,
that's the worst. Yeah. What is that? Have you worked through that? What is the biggest lesson that you've learned?
I think the biggest lesson I've learned working just through attachment styles is understanding that, like, all of it is a coping mechanism for, like, what you've experienced in your life. And I've dated a lot of people who have avoidant attachment style, and I'm like, that would be really hard to feel like you can never really fully feel what's going on, or you have to just kind of, like, push it away. And then with my anxious attachment, I think I've learned that you can't assume how other people feel or what they're thinking, because you don't know.
And also, I feel like you're going through pain twice. It's like you're going through the pain of imagining what's actually going on, and then the pain of going through what is actually going on. You know what I mean? Like, you're causing yourself pain, like, so unnecessarily. And, like, most of the times, like, what we're anxious about is not actually happening. Are you in a relationship now?
Yeah, I am.
Are you? How long have you been together?
I think 3
I think.
Years. I think. Yeah, 3 years.
What is, like, that different factor that you acknowledge from this? Like, I'm guessing it's healthy, because if not, you wouldn't be in it.
Yeah.
And past relationships.
Part of it is a willing to change and grow. Love is not perfect when you enter it, and I think a lot of it with us has been, we're always willing to hear the other person and work towards whatever compromise is needed to be made, like dropping your ego and being like, okay, what is this other person actually saying right now, and what are they actually feeling? And I think I'm really lucky. My partner is very, very open to changing, and I'm very open to changing and adjusting, and your needs are constantly shifting what you need. Like, right now, I would say both of us with work are very, very busy, and so we don't get to spend as much time together. Just like chilling and doing nothing. And recently I was like, I really miss, like,
just doing nothing.
Like, it's kind of been a while. And he was like, yeah, you're right, like, let's set aside some time to do that. And so I think just not, the set point is not anger. It's like,
just understanding of how can we both make their relationship better.
It's like it's us versus the problem and not us versus each other.
100%.
Yeah.
What are those like non-negotiables that you have of like, if this person did this, like no matter how much I love him, if he did this, I would leave.
I think for me, it's more shared values. Like, does this person have the same values as me? And that is actually where I've had problems in my relationships is like, there's a lack of respect of boundaries. We don't have the same values of what is okay and what is not. And I think values are the most important thing to me in my friendships 100%, too.
Yeah.
It's like willing to be accountable of things, willing to be vulnerable. You know, is this person kind to me? It sounds kind of like simple things.
Yeah, no, but yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
Non-negotiables. I think that's why I'm not in a relationship. I think, I don't know. I've gotten so used to spending time with myself and being okay with that just recently that I'm just like, I'm in this point where I want to enjoy it as much as I can before I get to share that with another person. But I think non-negotiables for me would be the same, like values. Like it would be a dishonor for me and for my growth to be with someone who's not looking to grow as much as I'm looking to grow. So I would want someone who's into like self-growth, spirituality, like looking to be better, and also maybe being a business owner or being passionate about working, because then that's where we would connect. And if we don't have that, then for what? And also, I think a very powerful lesson that I've learned is that if someone were to tell me, you're just like your partner, how would that make me feel? And when I look past like relationships that I've had in the past, like if someone were to tell me that I'm just like the people that I've talked with, I would feel so offended. I would feel extremely offended. And so until I don't find someone that I would be proud to be like, I don't think I would settle for that. And I'm finally like in that place. And I think I want to enjoy that as much as I can, but because it's super recent too. So non-negotiables, I feel like it would be that, like my values. Like I think I had the privilege of growing up in such a loving family. Like my dad would always love this so much that it would be a dishonor to my childhood and to my dad to accept someone who loves me less. So I think it would be that, like the values too, which is, I mean, I want to ask you, this has been such a beautiful conversation, and I want to close it off by asking you a question that I ask everybody that comes when I miss me, and that is, what does healing mean to you?
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah,
this has been
course.
So nice. I think for me, living from a heart-centered place is healing. So asking myself, is this action loving towards myself? Is this action loving towards other people? And I'm really about the mind, the body, and the spirit, like the whole person and not just one part of it. So yeah, I think moving from love and doing it for the whole part of me.
How can you work all three? Like what are, if you were to give like a, because we love actionable advice, and I feel like some people don't grow because they don't get that, like a lot of people like me are just like visual learners, or like, give me a list of the things that I have to do and I'll do them. So how can you work your body, mind, and spirit?
Yeah, I think having discipline, discipline is a word a lot of us hate, but it's actually, discipline creates freedom. Mm-hmm. So knowing, okay, if I wake up, like for example, I wake up and I go to yoga first thing in the morning, and yoga balances me emotionally, physically, spiritually, it's something that I return to whenever I feel off. So I'm like, okay, every morning I'm going to get up at this time and go to yoga. And part of that is being like, okay, I'm going to go to bed at this time. And that's where the discipline comes in. And I think not trying to do everything at once, like you can just start with one thing. Be like, okay, I am going to drink enough water. A lot of people just don't drink water. I'm going to drink enough water because that is going to give me energy and that's going to make my body feel good. And I'm going to be glowy because of it. That's like a mind, body, spirit thing. I think healing can be really overcomplicated a lot of the time. And it's really simple. Like just asking yourself before you engage with any action, is this loving towards myself? And sometimes the loving action is baking cookies and having a cookie. And sometimes the loving action is being like, actually, I ate a lot of sugar today and my stomach kind of hurts from it already. Like, I should make some vegetables and chicken and, you know, like, just meeting yourself where you're at and then moving from a place of love.
Right, and loving yourself through every single decision. Like, you eating a cookie is okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to love myself for it. And then choosing not to eat it tomorrow, I'm also going to love myself for it, you know? And, like, both of them are okay and both of them are valid. And also what you said is super important. Like, a lot of people think that healing is just going from worse to better in like a night and just journal and cry it out and then feeling better the next day, and then they're super hard on themselves when a week later they're still feeling sad and it's like, I already cried about this, why am I feeling sad again? But it's really just about feeling 1% better every day, because if you really think about it, then in 3 months you're going to be a whole completely different person, you know? So right. You just really have to be like 1% better every day, and I feel like that's just super important for you to mention. If you had 12-year-old in front of you, what advice would you give her?
Oh, that's such a good question. I love that question. If I had 12-year-old me in front of me, I think I would probably tell her to just enjoy where she's at and enjoy what's in front of her, because life passes you by. And that's something I'm tapping into right now, is I'm like, I want to be involved in my community and I want to, you know, not, sometimes I get so caught up in my work that I tend to forget everything else exists. And so I think right now I'm like, I have to have fun. I'm 25. Like, I need to go have fun. I need to go, you know, dancing with my friends and host dinner parties and make sure that I'm enjoying my life and being where my feet are.
I love that. Thank you so much for being with me today and having this beautiful conversation, and for giving me a little bit of your time. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Sion Camille, on TikTok at Sion Camille. My podcast is called Apricity, and my book, Talking with My Angels in the Bathtub, will be out in the next month.
Ah, that's so exciting.
Thank you so much.
I'm definitely going to be the first one to buy it and read it. So I'm so excited for it to come out. Thank you guys so much for listening or watching. Don't forget to follow me on social media at Mafiansures, at I Miss Me Podcast everywhere. Don't forget, I also have a clothing brand, noadienproject.co. Again, thank you so much for listening. I love you guys, and I will see you guys on our next episode. With love, Mafi.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.